You're listening to Design Atlas Season 4. Welcome to Design Atlas Season 4. We've got a recap episode today for you on everything Season 4. And in this episode, we are going to delve into some exclusive insights and behind the scenes details from this past year.
But before we proceed, it's crucial to highlight an important disclaimer for this episode. There will be spoilers for all of Season 4. If you haven't already, we encourage you to revisit the beginning of Season 4 and listen to the previous episodes to fully enjoy the journey before listening to this final episode of Season 4. And now that we've got that out of the way, let's dive in.
Yeah, so Season 4. It all started back at the end of 2022. Shocking, right, Megan?
Yeah, this is a while ago.
Hard to believe. And I feel like there were a lot of things that we learned. Every season we get better, we improve in a lot of things, and we definitely streamlined a lot of our processes this season, I felt, where we learned a lot from our last seasons, of course, and we brought that into this fourth season.
Yeah, and I think, like, for our listeners, you don't get the full behind the scenes, like how much work we really put into the outreach to guests, the organizing our folders, our content, the transcripts, the audio files, just making sure that everything is sort of running smoothly. And over the last two seasons, we've really like dialed into our really like streamlined process to make sure that we are efficient and quick. And I think just, you know, we've had lots of practice at this point. We've been doing this for 4 years, that we were able to really, when we were able to work on things, make it efficient and quick in what we were doing.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And I felt like even just getting, you know, one of those big things, I think that takes a lot of our time and effort, is to find like guests for a season. And also create that entire story that goes with all of those guests. So it really goes to this storyboarding at the beginning that we do to kind of both find our guests, of course, but also understand from a larger, greater, higher point of view, vantage point, so to speak, it's the theme that we're going to bring within the season. And then like hitting all the different points that we want to in the season and finding a guest that kind of matches with that sort of connectedness that we're trying to bring to the show.
Right. And then just the overall process of finding guests. I feel like this season was maybe a little bit harder than what we've had in the past. But at the same time, I think the guests that we did reach out to were significantly more responsive. And so we were able to like get guests the first time we outreached versus, you know, I think in previous seasons, we have to reach out to 5 people before we get like 1 yes back or whatever. I think this season, those statistics are probably a little bit better and more in our favor, but it felt like it was harder to find people. I think we spent more time researching who should we bring on and like who should we reach out. But then everybody kept saying yes, so it was great.
People I felt like were much more responsive, as you said. So I found that, you know, maybe it could have been the people that we reached out to, you know, we just got lucky. because, right. Yeah, like you mentioned in the previous seasons that we've been, creating, it has been a lot harder to get guests, of course. And so I potentially, that was just kind of reflecting on this now and thinking like potentially we're seeing it becoming a bit easier on this guest hunting kind of thing, because we have a bit more of an established show. We're on our fourth season. We now have a lot of episodes that kind of our journey in this Design Atlas podcast is really showing, and people can see it. And so I find that, you know, we even get people that reach out to us now if they, you know, to be on the show as well. So I think we're definitely seeing a different twist in that realm versus like when we were just starting out, we were like hunting for people, like trying to connect with a bunch of people, like asking people if they wanted to be on the show. And when you don't really have many episodes to show before, it's pretty hard to get them to say yes. So I find that maybe it's like a couple of different factors that kind of influence that for this season. But without a doubt, it's been a lot easier, and hopefully we'll just get even easier as we go. The one other challenge, though, that I think will still keep coming up as the, you know, next season, season five, as we start looking to that, it's more about thinking about how we connect all of those guests, how we tell the story of the season. And, you know, you can get a lot of different people. That's the easy part. But are those people like going to help the story that we're trying to connect with?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that I think the reason that we had a harder time finding people was because we wanted to connect them to the story that we had. And so that's what is taking longer now versus before. It was just, you know, reaching out to as many people as we could and not getting responses. And now it's reaching out to the right people that fit what we're trying to say in the message and story that we're building for the season.
So the guests on the guest side, it was great. We got, you know, we got everybody pretty quickly, actually. It didn't take too much time, but you might be wondering why it took so long to get season four out there. I don't know. It felt like an eternity for both Megan and I. We were just
at least a year.
It was more than a year, I think. It was like crazy.
It was.
Which we have kind of set a standard for ourselves that, you know, within the year, we want another season. So you know, we maybe start in January and by the end of the year or something, it's ready to go. Or we give ourselves, you know, some months in the year to kind of make sure that we have the time we need to create the season. But we tried to, like, within a 12-month cycle, whenever we start to finish, we want that season launched. So I found that it was, you know, did take a lot of time this season. And why did that happen, Megan? Can you explain?
Well, a lot of things have happened since I think season three ended probably June or July 2022. I mean, let's pull up that timeline. Fall 2022, we were planning and starting this season, and we were finding the guests, getting the story ready, doing some interviews, and eventually closed out those interviews in early January of 2023. But 2023 brought a lot of changes to both of our lives that we were not anticipating in any sort of way. So long story short, life got in the way of the podcast. I found a new job, and that new job brought me from Florida to California. And so I had to up and move across the country in a matter of just a few months, on top of starting a new job and a new career path. Which has been pretty crazy. And I had lots and lots of travel as well over the course of 2023. And if you know anything about trying to make a podcast and do side projects while your just life is super, super busy, it's very, very difficult. And if you're traveling all the time, it just makes it even harder to do. So we had to put a pause on some work over the summer while I was moving in, June through August. Jens, what was going on in your life at the time?
You know what, I just, before I mention things going on my side, it's like, it's always funny how, I don't know, every season there's something. I don't know if it's the longevity of us like creating the season or whatnot, but I just find it that it's like, there's always something, and it's always like both you and me, like
at the same time,
like at the same times, or like a few months on or off. But like, it's very odd in a way that there's this coincidentalness, or I don't know, we're just like connected, Megan, you and I don't know, somehow. but so it's just really funny. So for me, I also had some kind of shift that was going on in my life, where I was transitioning between jobs. And basically, I landed a new job around November. So where a few months prior, I was like looking for a new job. And basically, I needed to kind of dedicate my life to finding that new job. So in that moment, I just did not have any capacity to work on the episodes. While we did have everything recorded, which was a relief, we didn't have any like guests pending at that point. It was just kind of the post-production. And to be fair, I find that the post-production takes even longer than just the interviews with our guests, because the interviews, you create a list of questions, we speak, and it's like over. But then it's thinking about that longer term story, as I mentioned earlier on, it's about how do we connect everything that everybody has said into a season? And that is by far the greatest challenge of podcasting, especially in this sort of setup that we've created for the show. It's definitely the hard part, but also the most rewarding, because I find that we can connect so many things between people that don't even know each other, you know?
And that's like the most fun part about doing this show and doing it. I mean, I love talking to the guests and stuff, but like you said, that part of the process is so small in comparison to what we do for this season. We spend months and weeks just like researching the topic itself, the guests, and then coming up with a story on throughout this whole time of interviewing guests and coming up with a story and getting those and doing the post-production. We're thinking about the story. We're thinking about what the messages that we're trying to say. And then when it comes to that post-production is when we get to really like dial into every single episode. We go back and forth on the script. We do the recordings. We listen to the episodes over and over and over again. And I feel like that's one of the funnest parts of the whole thing.
Definitely. And even, like, even though life got in the way for both of us
at
that period of time, we did pick up where we left off eventually. <Yep. laughs> And we did get back into things once kind of both Megan and my jobs kind of stabled out again. And I think it was a, you know, there was a side challenge, though, I think, on top of that, because there had been so much time kind of elapsed between both from the first recording of our first interview that we did to like actually beginning to post-produce that episode. I had to literally re-listen to some of those initial conversations that we'd had in like 2022, because it was like end of 2023 when we, you know, or like October.
I mean, it was almost November. Some of those interviews was a full year between when we began the post-production.
Right.
And yeah. And so that just was like, it was difficult. We had to address that and just work through those challenges, but we did it. And I think just in general, it was very even longer since the last time we even did post-production on any season. We did post-production for season 3. How long ago? I don't even remember. Like, and during that, I think, looking that far back, we were going through pretty similar life changes as well. I had moved from New York to Florida and you were moving from Norway to Spain at that time. So I think it's just a trend for us to be moving across the country while we're trying to post-produce a season. Let's not make it happen again next year.
I mean, 5 is like, we can make a full hand, like this season it better be big, because we started in 2020 now. I mean, it's pretty crazy to think we're in like season 4 is already done. Season 5 is on the cusp of getting started. Like it's really exciting. And we've got a lot of exciting things coming up that I'm sure we'll share on socials and things, like about our, just to highlight a few, this is sneak peek stuff, but like our website and very exciting things happening there, and our community revamping that a bit more on Slack. So stay tuned for a lot of those announcements, of course, but very excited to share that as we keep going here. So I think all in all, season 4 went really well. And I think now that, you know, we're kind of closing season 4, thank you for the time we had together, number 4. let's give a tribute to our final 10 episodes in this season.
Yeah, so let's take a moment to recap the insightful perspectives shared by our guests throughout this past season, and highlighting some of the impactful quotes that resonated with us. Florin's episode showed us that the ocean cleanup is not only focused on the problem directly in their organization, but focusing also on the issues at hand on a more geopolitical scale. And here's what he had to say.
It might be that, you know, in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, the organization has grown into a place where we have a seat at the table to change things, how they work. And this is actually already happening, because since a year almost, we have like a more intense focus on governmental affairs and trying to, okay, we found something, our research team figured out something. How do we make sure the results of a study is, you know, being watched by the right people in the right countries to change it? So I think, yes, ultimately, you know, I think Boyan says that all the time. He says, like, we want to put ourselves out of business. You know, that's the, and he says something funny. I think he thinks like nonprofits in general should have this goal to put yourself out of business, because if you fixed a problem, then you have no reason to exist anymore. But of course, and right now, I think the fastest path to impact feels like removal and kind of interception, because of how much inertia there is to changing a system, a country, a place, a city, waste management. These things kind of have like very long response time for change to be effective.
Next, we have Ambika Prakash, which she was focusing on educating her clients about the importance of design as a tool for communication, while at the same time educating herself on the specific issues or the concepts she was working with to help her clients get to the best possible outcome. And here's what she had to say.
They don't have to blindly believe in what we're doing, but at the same time, they need to know what has been the trajectory. What have we researched? What have we tried? What is the solution? And why do we think that this is a good solution, right? And so I think that that is part of what I do, is try to educate our clients and earn their trust so that they feel safe and they feel challenged in a safe space, so that we're all sort of working together to shift the needle on these causes that we're working on.
Up next, we have Chrissy Levitt. What really stood out to us in Chrissy's episode is that she talked about how getting a diverse community of creatives helped paint a broader picture in how they solved the design challenge for this specific competition in the organization she founded called Creative Conscious. Here's what she had to say.
What happens with that is you get someone whose parent or mother was abused, or whose father was an alcoholic, or someone who suffered from racism, or someone who's seen the direct effects of the climate crisis, or, you know, geopolitical refugeeism, or, you know, so it's led by our community.
So definitely recommend checking out Chrissy's episode. The next episode we had was with our guest Margot Stoney, and Margot's courage to step out of her own to start her agency called High Mountain Creative really helped her to solely focus on what she was passionate about. And that's not something that is easy for everyone to do. So here's what she had to say.
I need to go longer, I need to see more. And that was sort of the catalyst to wanna quit my job and start High Mountain Creative full time. I'd started High Mountain Creative, I mean, probably back in, well, you could say when I started freelancing in 2005, but officially I think I trademarked the name in like 2011 or something. And so all this time it was sort of in my back pocket, but it wasn't until 2014 that I left my job at the ski resort to do it full time and just really focus on it. And the rest is history.
Up next, we have Dr. Rebecca Green. Dr. Green brought a broader picture to this season, highlighting clear statistics about how we as consumers are becoming more of a throwaway society versus a society that wants to reuse items or extend their life. Here's what she had to say.
There's a really great study that I cite a lot in my lectures, and that concerns a given sort of example 700-page report that a printed version used 85 grams of CO2, but reading that same report online for 1 hour uses 226 grams of CO2, which is almost three times as much. And that's per hour, whereas this printed one can be reread by, you know, countless people for a century or longer. In fact, there are some books bound well that have lasted, you know, two centuries. So you know, obviously the, you know, something like the magazine industry is going to churn through, and it's not really as, it's better to read that online. But even newspapers are better to read the actual printed version because it uses that heavily recycled paper and has done for years. So that it is a problem. The digital space uses a lot of energy. In fact, before the pandemic, there was this, another great study that showed that if you consider the internet as a country, it is the third biggest user of energy in the world after China and the USA.
Next up, we had Christian Bernard, and Christian made us think about what sustainable graphic design should look like in a world that focuses so much of our time on marketing materials that might not have as much of a direct impact on society. And so here's what he had to say.
Bruce Mao, when he was working on Massive Change, had kind of like a similar way that they defined it, was like the welfare of all life was the goal of the Massive Change project. And so if we use that kind of idea that like all life on Earth has to succeed together as what we want to sustain, then like sustainable graphic design has to account for like not just what this ad banner needs to look like, but like what does this ad banner need to look like if all life is flourishing? You know, again, it might beg the question of like, do we need to make this ad banner at all? But it might change also what, how you make the ad banner or what the ad banner also tries to look like.
I think Christian's episode really made us think about all of the questions we should maybe be answering as designers or thinking about as we go. But next up, we have Jasmine Hortop. And Jasmine made us realize that how big projects, big and small, can have their own impacts on society in many different ways. So here's what she had to say.
One of the things I love about a mural project is that you do the design and you might go back and forth with that with the client for a bit, but then you start painting and after however many days, it's done. It's done. You don't go back. You don't go back and forth, and it's there. It's just painted, and it looks amazing, and it pretty much it's so impactful that, like, it's. I think there's something that's really lost when you're sending someone a client a digital image, and they know that it's digital, and they can think, oh, can you change this or can you change this, and you can't always maybe appreciate the artistry that's gone into it. But when it's so huge, like a mural, like it's people are impressed every time. And I mean, I've never asked anyone to change anything, and I doubt really someone will. And I love that difference in the projects. I obviously love all my illustration projects as well, but it's super refreshing to get a mural project.
So definitely check out Jasmine. I couldn't believe that she was living out of a van. That was pretty incredible. Like living the van life, going coast to coast, enjoying her artistic endeavors was really incredible. The inspiration she gathered from the oceans that she's traveling by. Next up, we have Melissa Mbugua. And in Melissa's episode, she showed us how when creatives come together to collaborate, we can make a massive impact on local and global communities. And here's what she had to say.
And so the community came together and ran a campaign, very local. Like there was outdoor advertising in Auckland. It was very local and mostly offline. because it was meant to drive action around this particular law and voting against it. And this worked. And so through collaboration with C4C members, Creators for Climate members, they implemented this campaign and it actually worked. They were successful in preventing what they didn't want to happen from not happening. So that's one example, but that really shows the power of access to like-minded people who have different skill sets and who are willing to volunteer. Because a lot of that work was done, below market rate or pro bono. And then it's also so cool that you see, like, of course, I've described it to you, but in a way that's not detailed because I've never been to New Zealand.
Go check out Melissa's episode and definitely go join Creatives for Climate. They are a wonderful community of creatives around the globe trying to make change together. Next up, we have Gareth Hughes. Gareth mentioned that digital design is one tool in our toolbox as creatives. And if we're going to battle the climate crisis that is upon us as creatives, we need to be well-versed in a variety of design fundamentals. Here's what Gareth had to say about digital design.
Digital design cannot solve this problem alone. I think digital design is just the kind of face or the tool that people use. So I think the infrastructure behind that is what really matters. Like who is involved, what are the materials, where are they coming from? Everything behind the face of what you're interacting with is what matters.
And last but not least, we had Elena Sotirakis. And Elena made us really think outside the box by teaching us about what biodesign is and how it can really change the world. Here's what she had to say.
The more I spend with biodesigners who are using biomimicry and all of these different methods and thinking about circular economies with design and art, their art practices, I think that's made me really hopeful for the future and like building those communities and issuing in those values and just changing, like becoming like interspecies world building and not making it like human centric, human dominated worlds, and just like kind of highlighting the beauty of things like slime mold, who is very smart, and engineers, you know, follow their creativity and their designs, and just thinking about alternative ways of creating that instill those values.
This past season, we witness a remarkable journey through the evolving landscape of design, illustrating how the industry was steadfastly moving in the right direction. From bustling metropolises to remote corners of the globe, we encountered a diverse array of creatives passionately advocating for change. Each episode illuminated the innovative spirit driving progress, showcasing designers who defied boundaries and challenged conventions. Whether it was capturing video on ship in the middle of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, teaching students in Australia, or organizing art shows showcasing some of the world's greatest biodesigners in the heart of Brooklyn, this season underscored the universal desire for meaningful transformation. As we reflected on the inspiring stories shared, it became evident that the future of design was not only bright, but also profoundly promising. Fueled by the unwavering dedication of individuals shaping a more inclusive, sustainable, and culturally rich world. Thank you for everyone who joined us on Season 4. We look forward to seeing you again in Season 5. Until then, keep exploring the world and discover what's out there with your Design Atlas.
For more information, visit our website, designatlesspod.com. Don't forget to follow our show on Instagram at designatlesspod or join our Slack community. All these details and more can be found in the show notes of this episode. Love what we're doing on Design Atlas? Make sure to give us a positive review on your favorite podcast streaming platform. We'd really appreciate your support. You're listening to Design Atlas Season 4.